Okay, we're starting at the top of Yud Gimel and Aleph. The Gemara is now about to discuss the last line in the Mishnah. The last line in the Mishnah was that the Par Mashiach kodum the Par Eida b'chol ma'asav. That it's a given that the Par Chatat that the Kohen Gadol brings will precede that of the Tzibur. The question is why? So that's what Gemara says, Minahane Mile. Where do we know this from? The Tanur Rabbanan, because the Pasuk says, Visaraf Oto. Karasir Sarafeta Pararishon. Pasuk says, just they will burn it, just like they burnt the Pararishon. Meaning that in the Parsha, in Vayikra Dalet, the first Parsha there is the Parchatat of the Kohen Mashiach, and Kohen Mashiach Yechtal Hashmat Am. And then the Parsha afterwards is the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. So the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur afterwards is Sarafoto Kasher Sarafeta Pararishon. It says that you'll do to this par like you did to the first par. I mean that the par Amdobet Tzibur will have the same rules or same halachot as that of the par Kohen Mashiach. So Gemara says, Matam Lomar HaRishon. What does it mean, the first one? Shehei Rishon, Kodom the par Eida B'chol Ma'asav. So that's what it means. It's Shesafetok, Asher Sarafet HaPar, the extra, either it's the Hei Eida or the Rishon, HaRishon. What is the HaRishon? Means that the par, Kohen Mashiach, will always precede the par of the Eida. Tan Rabbanan, par Kohen Mashiach, upar Eida Omdim. If we have a choice, we have the par Kohen Mashiach and the par Eida in front of us. Par Kohen Mashiach Kodem, the par Eida B'chol Ma'asav. Hoyo. So now the Gemara went out of Drasha from HaRishon, now wants to know, give me an explanation for this, tell me what this means. So here the Braita is going to do a number of comparisons of what goes Kodem the what, and then what's the reasoning behind it. So here it says, Barakom HaShviyah Kodem the Parayda B'chom HaSav Hoel Mashiach Michaper Ve'eda Mitkaperet Dinu Shiakdima Michaper La Mitkaper. So when we're here, we're talking about the Kohen HaMashiach, who needs kapara, but he's also a mechaper. He's the one that does the avoda in the mikdash. He's the one that could bring the pareida. So he should be first take care of his own issues, his own chataim, and then only then come and deal with the pareida. We have a similar concept by Yom Kippurim, where the Kohen Gadol brings his par for himself, for Beito, Kohanav, and then afterwards he does the seir for the Israel, for the Am. So the one who's going to be Michaper should be Mitkaper first, and then afterwards deal with the Mitkaprim, which is the Eida. V'chein umer, v'chiper ba'ado, uvad beito, uvad kol kahal Yisrael. So that's by the Achremot, by the Yom Kippurim, that first ba'ado, then v'ad beito, and then v'ad kol kahal Yisrael. Par elam davar shel tzibur, kodem the par shel obdat kochavim. So when it comes to, if you have before you the par olam davar shel tzibur, which is the par chatat of the tzibur, and then the par of avodot chachavim, which is found in parshat Shlach Lecha, the par there is the tzibur is korban for doing avodah zarah b'olam davar shigat ma'aseh. It's a par le'ola v'sa'ir le'chatat. So you have the par of the chatat of olam davar shel tzibur by all other mitzvot, and then you have the par ola of the Ovdat Chochavim in front of you, which goes first, is the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. Why? My time, Ahai Chatat, Vahayola. That's pretty straightforward. The Par Chatat, the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur is a Chatat. The Par of Avodah Zarah is an Ola, because the Seir is the Chatat. V'tanya, V'kivet Asher the Chatat Rishona. That you bring the Chatat Rishona. Matam Olomar. Why does the Torah tell us this? Imla meje ta chatat rishona, hare kvar ne'amar vet asheni yase ola kamishpat. We already know that the second one's going to be the ola. Ela, ze b'nei av shehei kol chataot kodmot leolot haba'im imahem. This is a binyan av, right? This establishes a general principle that the chatat always precedes the ola. So we have a shtet torim. O shnei b'nei yona. It says, kivet asher chatat rishona. And then it also says, Veta Sheni Yaselwa Kamishpat. So here you have the Sheni and the Rishon. I don't need to have both Rishona and Sheni. So one of them is extraneous. Here the Gemara is saying the Rishona is extraneous. That comes to teach you that Chatat always precedes an Ola. Bekaimulan, Dafilu Chatat Of, Kudemet Lorat Beima. Now this difference between the Chatat and Ola is a difference that overcomes the qualitative, possibly, or quantitative difference of bringing a behema and an oaf. An oaf, which you would think is a lesser of a karban than a behema, nevertheless, the chatat oaf precedes an olat behema. Now, paro vedat kochavim, kodem l'seir vedat kochavim. So we discussed before the par of kelam davar shel tzibur and the par of avodat kochavim. And we said the par of davar shel tzibur goes first because chatat goes before an ola. Now we're discussing paro vedat kochavim, which is the ola, and then you have the seir vedat kochavim, which is the chatat. Wait a minute. So my hai chatat v'hai ola. It should be the other way around. Here you're bringing the par of the ola first, and then the seir chatat second. You just told us the principle is chatat goes first, ola goes second. That's the case. Seir should be first, par should be second. So amri bar mar bar mishmei de rabba bar mari chatat avodat kochavim chasera aleph. It's written without an aleph in it, lechatat ktiv. So since it's a chaser aleph, therefore we bring it second. It doesn't have the full status of a chatat, and therefore it goes after it's brought. They must have had some mesorah about what the limud is from the word chatat. Chaser aleph, there's nothing about it being a chaser and aleph necessarily that means that it should go second, but that mesorah that they have a limud that it's a chaser tells you that the chatat goes after the ola. Rav Amar, Kimishpat Ktiv Be. By the par and seir of Avodat Kochavim, it uses the word Kamishpat. Kamishpat means the way it's written. Kamishpat is Ma'akev, the order is Ma'akev. So you do it the way it's written in the Pasuk. The way it's written in the Pasuk is the par the Ola, and then the seir the Chatat. So you follow the order of the Pasuk because of the word Mishpat. Seir of Avodat Kochavim, which is a Chatat. Kodem L'Seir Nasi, which is also Chatat. My time, that's straightforward. Hay Tzibur V'Hayachid. One is the tzibur, that's the tzibur is korban by avodah zarah, the chatat of the tzibur by avodah zarah is the seir, and the seir of the nasi is what he brings for any chatat kavua that he would bring. He brings the seir instead. Seir nasi kodem l'sirat yachid. Seir nasi comes before the chatat yachid. My taimo. Hamelech vayedjot, just a manner of kavod, respect. King goes before the lay people. Sirat yachid. Kodemet the kibsat yachid. The seirat yachid, when you have a choice, which is by a chatat kavua, a person has the option to bring a seirah or a kisba. In that case, the seirah will precede the kisba. Vatanyo kibsat yachid kodemet the seirat yachid. Don't we have a brace that says that the kevis goes first and then only the seir? It's a machlokes tanaim about which do we give precedence to. Do we give precedence to the seir? Do we give precedence to the kevis? So why marsa versus seira adifa? Right, the one bright says, which is the first one we saw, that the seira is adifa shekein nitrabta etzal avodat kochavim beyachid, because that's the korban that is brought by the yachid by avodat kochavim. With a regular mitzvah where you have a chatat kavua, the individual has a choice between a seira and a kisba. By avodat kochavim, which is much more chamur, the individual is limited to only bringing a seira. But you see that the seira, it must be more important, the fact that it was chosen to be the one for the avodah zarah, when you had to pick between, the Torah gave you only a seira and not kisba there. So that shows you that the seira is more chashuv. Umar sabar kibsa adifa, shekein nitrabta balya. That the kibsa is more chashuv, because when it comes to the difference in the parshayot of the kibsa and the seirah, that the kibsa comes with its tail, its aliyah, is also brought along with its chalavim, is mukrav ala gabei ha-mizbeach. So therefore it has more that goes on the mizbeach, or has more matanot that come from it, and therefore it is more chashuv. What's interesting over here is that the Gemara is discussing whether a seirah or a kisba is more chashuv. There's actually a Gemara at the end of Kritut, and it says, Yanai Malko Malkuto. The king and the queen were sitting around, and they were arguing. They had an argument about which is better. Is it better to have kevis, to eat lamb, or is it better to eat seira, goat's meat, which is more tasty, which is better meat? So they were fighting. The king said one, and the queen said another. Say, well, who's better than to be machri over here than the Kohen Gadol? So they call in the Kohen Gadol. His name was Yisachar. Got the rest of his title there, named Yisachar. They bring him in, they ask him, what's the story? Which one's better? He eats meat all the time, he's involved with the Karbanot, which one's better? So he laughed, and he said, of course, it's the Kevis, which I think was like the queen. He said, it's the Kevis, because otherwise, why wouldn't you bring the Korban Tamid from a Seira? The fact is that we bring the Kevis Achat Taseh B'Boker, but the Kevis Hashini Taseh Ben Arabayim. That the Korban Tamid that's brought every day is brought from the Kevis, must be that
The kevis is better.
So he was laughing and waved his hands. The king was not enamored with his behavior and the way that he conducted himself. And he said, now that he waved his hand, please cut off his right hand. So they said, going to cut off his right hand. He bribed the executioner, and the executioner cut off his left hand instead of his right hand. The king got wind of it, heard about it, and he brought him back and had his right hand cut off as well. So he lost both hands in this incident. The Gemara before that discusses that it was mita keneged mita. That this Kohen Gadol, Issachar, was a little bit of an istanis, a little bit of a funak, and he used to do the avodah in the Mikdash with shirai al yadayim. He used to put silk on gloves on his hands in order that he should not be meluchlach and he shouldn't have to touch the karbanot, which is obviously a problem because then you have a hefsek, you have to be, the kohanim have to work without any hefsek, chatzitza, you can't have anything between their hands, the karbanot or any avodah that they're doing. So the Gemara says, mida keneged mida, that he was more makpid on his hands than the avodah, that he lost his hands in this incident. But that's an incident where the Gemara discusses which is more important, which is more chashuv, is it the kevis or the sirah? There, the Kohen Gadol answered, because the takarban tamid comes from kevis, that it should be more important. The other interesting thing is also the Gemara, it's brought in the Gemara Psachim. In other places, there was a time around the Korban Pesach, there was a non-Jew who was boasting to the fact that he always came up to Yerushalayim and ate the Korban Pesach each year, and nobody figured out that he wasn't Jewish, that he was going to be Jew. So I can't remember who was the Chacham, but he was very old, and the Tosas over there discusses why he wasn't going Aliyah LeRegel. It was Aliyah LeRegel, why wasn't he going up to Yerushalayim himself? But he says either he was very old, or he was a Choleh, couldn't go up to Yerushalayim, but he told them to tell the people up in Yerushalayim, the Chachamim, that he wants, that he says, they feed you, what do they give you? Which piece of the Korban Pesach do they give you? And told them, he says, they're cheating you out. The best is that you have to get from the tail, from the klayot. Make sure you get the best part of the meat. So he goes up to Yerushalayim and he says, all these years, you know, I haven't been getting the best part. He says, I need to get this piece of meat. So they asked him, who told you to get this? So he told them the name of the Chacham back home. And then they realized that there must be something up. They looked into the issue, found out that it was a guy. Right? They took care of the situation. And they say that you, Rebbe so-and-so, you're found back in your city, but your traps are laid in Yerushalayim. That he was able to say him. But that's from this. That the aliyah is not eaten. The aliyah does not belong, is not part of what's eaten, it's what's put on the mizbech. So that's also another gemara that references, right, this idea of the difference between the kevis and the seira. Omer called them the kevis abayimo. The omer precedes the kvasim that also come along with the omer. Shtelechim kodem the kvasim abayimimam. And the shtelechim also go before the kvasim that come along with them. Zaklal, this is the principle. Davar haba begin the yom. Something that comes because of the day, because of the Kedushat HaYom, that's the Omer and the Shtei Lechem, Kodom the Devar Abba begin Lechem, that comes because of the Lechem itself. The Kvasim come because of the Shtei Lechem. So the Shtei Lechem, which is the Chuvat HaYom, that goes first, and then the Kvasim, which are coming because of the Lechem, go afterwards. Same thing by the Omer. The Omer, which comes because of the day, because it's the 16th of Nisan, that goes first, and then only the Kevis, that's the Korban, that's brought along with the Omer, goes afterwards. So that gives you the precedence. So this bright there just laid it out. Some sort of hierarchy that deals with certain karbanot when they come into contact, which one goes first based on what we just saw in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is trying to lay out for us principles of hierarchy. We saw principles of tadir, principles of kadosh, now we saw principles of chadat kodem leola, the principle of tzibur goes before the yachid, melech before hejot, and the Kohen Mashiach precedes the Tzibur because he's the Mechaper. So these are all types of reasons or discussions about how to look at different items that come up and how you determine the hierarchy, which is the theme of all the Mishnayot that we're going to deal with. From that previous Mishnah until the rest of the Mishnayot through the Masechta are all about hierarchy. Ha'ish kodem li'isha, achayot. When it comes to survival, man becomes before the woman, and also for returning an aveda. Vaisha kodemet liish leksut. When it comes to clothing, then a woman takes precedence over the man. As well as to take to redeem someone from captivity, a woman takes precedence over a man. On the other hand, if they're both in captivity and they both face the likely possibility that they will be forced to do an aveira. Here it's a some sort of sexual aveira. Then aish kodem liisha. Then the man goes before the woman, because for the man it's something that is irregular. Mishkab zachar is something that has much greater embarrassment and difficulty with it. Therefore, the man is nifdeh first before the isha. So even though it's obviously a horrible situation, it's not. It's something that is kedarka, not something that is shelo kedarka. So here the Mishnah lays out a hierarchy. So Tanabanan, Hayahu Vaviv Virabo Bishevi. So if there are three people in captivity, it's the individual, his father and his Rebbe. Who called him the Rabbo? That he goes first. The individual himself takes precedence over everyone else in terms of redeeming. That's what we say, mitzvah bo, right? Always goes first. You take care of yourself first. Virabo Kodem Laviv. And his Rebbe precedes his father. Imo Kodemet Lekulam. His mother goes before all of them. Chacham kodem lemelech Yisrael. The Chacham precedes the king, and Chacham shemeit, the reason why is, Chacham shemeit in lanu kiyotzebo. When it comes to the Talmud Chacham, they are not regularly replaceable. Torah in a Yerushalach. On the other hand, Melech Yisrael shemeit, kol Yisrael reim lemachut. Anybody can be a king. Right, so kings are dispensable. Talmud Chachamim are not dispensable. So, since Torah is in a Yerushalach, you take care of the Chacham before you take care of the Melech, because the Melech is a Yerusha. Someone else can take over the Malchut, right? By Torah, by Talmud Chacham, that's not necessarily the case. So, give precedence to the Talmud Chacham over the Melech. Melech chodem l'Kohen Gadol. On the other hand, the king precedes the Kohen Gadol, Shenemer. V'yomar Melech lehem chui machem abdei adoneichem. This is David HaMelech. After Bathsheba and Natan HaNevi intercede on behalf of Shlomo to ensure that Shlomo will be the next king, David HaMelech calls in Tzadok HaKohen. He calls in Natan HaNevi. He tells them all, listen, I want you to take care of Shlomo. And the way he addresses them is, take with you, with the Avdei, my servant, Adonaichem. Who's the Adon that he's referring to? David's referring to himself, and he's calling himself an Adon. So the Gabay Natan HaNavi and the Gabay Tzadok HaKohen, he's saying, I am your Adon, I'm your master. So what do you see? You see that the king precedes the Kohen Gadol. He's calling himself an Adon in the face of the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol Kodem LaNavi. The Kohen Gadol precedes the Navi Shenemar, because it says there in the anointing of Shlomo HaMelech, Meshach Oto Sham Tzadok HaKohen VeNatan HaNavi. So Tzadok and Natan go to be anoint Shlomo HaMelech, but the Pasuk reads, who went first? Tzadok HaKohen, and then only Natan HaNavi. Higdim Tzadok LeNatan. The Kohen Gadol goes before Natan. Vomer, Shma Na Yoshua HaKohen HaGadol Ata Vireyacha. Right, so it says, you, Yoshua Kohen Gadol, you and your friends, take heed. Yochol Hejiototayu, Reyecha, these friends of his, who are they? You would think they're just regular lay people, Tamil Omar, Ki Anshe Mofet Hema. They are people of Moftim, of wonders. Ve Mofet El Navi, and a Mofet is a reference to a Navi, Shneemar, because this isn't Varim, by the false Navi, and Atan Alecha Ot O Mofet. That the Navi will give you some sort of sign or wonder, Mofet, that will make you want to believe in this Navi Sheker. So Mofet is a reference to Navi, and Yeshua King Gadol. It says, Shimuna Yeshua Gadol, Ata Vireyacha. So Hashem says, they address Yeshua Kohen Gadol, you and your friends. So the friends who were Nevi'im went after Yeshua Kohen Gadol. They were called the friends of the Kohen Gadol. They had a lesser status than the Kohen Gadol. So again, you see that the Kohen Gadol takes precedence over the Navi. Mashuach b'shem ha'mishka, kodem l'merubeh begadim. That a Kohen Gadol that was anointed with the Shem ha'mishka precedes that of the merubeh begadim. Merubeh begadim kodem le'mashiach shavar machmat kerio. The merubeh begadim, which is a full-fledged Kohen Gadol, but he just didn't have Shem ha'mishka, he goes prior to someone who was taken out of service, the shavar machmat kerio, that a Kohen Gadol was taken out of service because of tum'ah. Mashiach shavar machmat kerio kodem lavar machmat mumo. The Kohen Gadol was out of service because of tumah, takes precedence over the Kohen Gadol was taken out of service because of a mum, because tumah is temporary, you come back the next day after he goes to the mikveh, everything's fine. But the mum, it could take a long time, may never come back. Avar machmat mumo kodem lashuach nochoma. A Kohen Gadol, even out of service, still has a higher status than that of a Meshuach Milchama, over the Meshuach Milchama. That any type of Kohen Gadol, that means Meshuach B'Shem HaMishcha, Merube B'Gadim, or She'abar, who's out of service, all those have precedence over the Meshuach Milchama. Meshuach Milchama Kodem L'Skan. The Meshuach Milchama has precedence over the Skan. The Skan is the backup Kohen Gadol. Skan Kodem L'Amarkal. And the Skan, the backup Kohen Gadol, has precedence over the Amarkal. My Amarkal. What's this Amarkal? Amar Avchista Amar Kula. So what's the Kula? The definitions I saw were the keepers of the doors. They were entrusted with the keys and the vessels of the Mikdash. They were somebody who took care of all everything in the Mikdash. They were in charge of everything that went on in the Mikdash. So that those individuals, the Skan, still has precedence over this individual, the key bearer of the Mikdash. Now, Amarkal, called him the Gizbar, the key bearer, or the one who's in charge of everything that goes on, locking the doors and everything in the Mikdash, takes precedence over the treasurer. Gizbar, called him the Rosh Mishmar, the treasurer takes precedence before the head of the Mishmar. Mishmar, meaning the Kohanim, were divided into 24 Mishmarot, and then each Mishmar had a head to that Mishmar. Rosh Mishmar, called him the Rosh Beit Av, but then each Mishmar, they were broken down into Batei Avot, six Batei Avot. So you had 24 Mishmarot of Kohanim. Each Mishmar was broken down into six Batei Avot. Each Beit Av had a Rosh Beit Av. So the Rosh Mishmar obviously takes precedence before the Rosh Beit Av because he's the higher form, right? He's a higher level of authority. Rosh Beit Av, Kodem the Kohen Adyot, and the Rosh Beit Av has precedence over a regular Kohen. So that's it. You have here a list of hierarchy. Here it's talking about Kohanim, and Kohanim Gedolim was the hierarchy that we saw in the second stage. In the first stage, we had the hierarchy that dealt with the individual, his Rebbe and his father. That, we've seen that halacha also in other places, for instance, with the Hashavat Aveda. Comes to Hashavat Aveda, the Hashavat Aveda of Rabbo comes before Hashavat Aveda of Abba Shalo, Lama. Aviv. Why does it go before Aviv? The Gemara says, because Zeu Mevio Lechai Olam Abba, Zeu Mevio Lechai Olam Azeh. His father takes care of Olam Azeh, his Rebbe takes care of Olam Abba, you get precedence Olam Abba. That's only if his Rebbe is Rebbe Hamuvhak. And number two, his father doesn't teach him Torah. His father also teaches him Torah. Then he's both Mevio Tol Olam Abba, takes care of Olam Azeh, Kibbut Avim. That would take precedence in that case. That's number one. Number two is, we saw the list here that a Chacham, Talmud Chacham precedes the Melech. Right, the Melech goes before the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol becomes before the Navi. So all of these are, in terms of hierarchy, in terms of leadership, you see that the Talmud Chacham is the top, then you have the King, then you have the Kohen Gadol, then you have the Navi. In terms of leadership, that's the order, the hierarchy that it was given. The interesting thing here, Tosfos deals with this in other places, the Tosfos Arash touches it on here, which is, it's a very big difficulty. These Ein Bein, or other places, it says here, B'Shem HaMishcha, Kodem Nerubei Begadim. How could you have a simultaneously have a Kohen Gadol that was anointed with the Shem HaMishcha, and a Kohen Gadol that was put into service with Nerubei Begadim? How could that ever happen? Either there was Shemen and Mishka, and they could both be anointed with the Shemen and Mishka, or there was no Shemen and Mishka, and they could also both only become Kohanim Gedolim through Merubeh Begadim. How could you have that only one of them is Shemen and Mishka, and the other one is Merubeh Begadim? So the answer has to be, and this is where all the answers revolve around, is at the time, right, at that line when Yoshua Melech puts it into Genizah. Has to be something over that line, or period of time, where Yoshua puts it into the Gnizah. So the Tosfos Arosh over here brings down, he says, Tema, it's about the dead center of the widest lines in the Tosfos Arosh, he says, Tema, Echava bet kohanim gedolim keachat. First, how do you have these two together? So Yesh mefarshim she'irat tuma the kohen Mashiach. That the kohen was anointed with the Shemen Mishcha, had tuma. Achar sheganaz Yoshua melech ha-Shemen Mishcha. He was anointed with the Shemen Mishcha. Then, after Yoshua put into Gnizah, he became Tameh. So now they have to bring in the Skan, they have to bring in the backup to be the Kohen Gadol. Well, the Shemen Mishcha is gone, and you need the backup Kohen. So what do they do? So Minu Merube Beganim L'Shemesh Tachtav. So the person who comes in to replace him, the Kohen Gadol comes in to replace him, is only going to be a Merube Begadim. And he says, V'lo Nihira, doesn't sound right to me. Dim Kein Havalei Mechtav, because then they should have said in the hierarchy here, Meshuach L'Shem Nishcha, Kodem L'Merube Begadim Shavar. It takes precedence between the Merubeh Begadim Avar, the one who's going to, the replacement. means Shavar is that he was there, and now he replaced him. He was the second Kohen Gadol, and then when the first one came back into service, he goes out of service. The fact that the Braita never mentions the word Avar sounds like that's not the case over here. So the suggestion that he brings down is later on, towards the end of this, Perisha Rav Rav Moshe Ubra, the Kagon, Shigala o Shechala Kohen Gadol. It's a case where the Kohen Gadol was put into Galut, or Chala, he was sick, Kohen Gadol, v'ukma acher tachtav. And another one comes in to serve below him. V'kevan sheshimesh yamir rabim b'kohen gadol, mistama imar v'yunoto, af kisheshav o shenitrapen. So since here, the replacement Kohen Gadol came in and served for a very long duration, either because the first Kohen Gadol was put into Galut, or he was very sick, and he didn't come back for a very long time. So now he served for a long duration. The Davka Biyira Keri, Shashenu Emeshemesh Elofisha'a. It's only when the first one goes out of service temporarily, like by Keri, even by Mumo, right, Rabbi Akiva. Shemesh Elofisha'a, Velo Choser Rishon Avodato. So something similar. Mumo, we'd have to say similar to Kerio. Mumo, where it's only a fixed duration that he's out, a small duration that he's out, just like Keri. It's longer than Keri, but not as long as being Chule, or being as long as Galut, and therefore they come back into service. But the Rishon will not return to service when it's a case of long, he was in service right, the second one was there for a very long time, when the first one comes back, he does not go into service right away. Right, so I don't know, right, these are very nebulous time periods. Then he says, the Tosafot continues, which is the solution that you have to have, Merubeh Begadim Kodem Mashiach Shavar, Kegon, Shir Ekeri the Kohen Gadol Kodem, Shegenai Shemen HaMishcha, Imishcho Achar Tachtav, Umeit, Kohen Gadol, Umniu Achar Tachtav, Shegenai Shemen HaMishcha. So he comes up, the case is this, there was an Ekeri the Kohen Gadol, Kodem Shegenai Shemen HaMishcha, before it went into Gniza, Umashcho Achar Tachtav, and they brought in the replacement, and they put the Shemen HaMishcha on him. Then Meit Kohen Gadol, the first Kohen Gadol who was Tumat Keri, dies. Umini Achar Tachtav, but now they brought in the replacement Kohen Gadol, but he is only Merube Begadim. So that's how the case is. There are actually three Kohenim Gadolim involved here. The original Kohen Gadol, who was B'Shemen HaMishcha, he became Tameh. So they brought in his replacement. His replacement also had Shemen HaMishcha put on him, and he replaced him. Then the replacement got pushed aside because the first one came back into service, but then the first one dies. After the first one dies, they appoint a new Kohen Gadol, not the backup, but a new Kohen Gadol totally. This new Kohen Gadol was after the Shemen HaMishcha was put into Gniza, and that's how did he come into service? Merubeh Begadim. Now I have attention. I have a Kohen Gadol Merubeh Begadim, and I have the original replacement Kohen Gadol was done by Shemen HaMishcha. So that's the competition over here. The Kohen Shemen HaMishcha precedes the Merubeh Begadim. So that's the Tosafos HaRosh's solution. He says it's not just the case where it's one replacement, because it's one replacement. The Gemara, the Braita should have said Sha'avar. In fact, that doesn't say that it's not just talking about a replacement. So he comes up in his case or scenario where there are three Kohenim Gadolim, where one's not replacing the other. The replacement is up against the new Kohen Gadol. Just a little bit on the hierarchy that we saw until this point. So now Gemara wants to know, Yibayu, Le'inyan Tuma, Skan Umeshuach V'Umechoma, Eze Mehem Kodem. When it comes to Tuma, which takes precedence? The Skan or the Meshuach? So Amar Mar, Zut Shebrei Rav Nachman Tashma, D'Tanya, Skan Umeshuach V'Umechoma, Sheyu Mehalchim Baderech, Upaga Behem Meid Mitzvah, and they bump into a Meid Mitzvah, Mutav Shitameh Meshuach V'Umechoma, V'Aytameh Skan. Better that the Meshuach V'Umechoma should become Tameh, and not the Skan, Shim Yireh Bo Psul B'Kohen Gadol, Nichnas Skan U'Meshemesh Tachtav. By the Skan, he's a backup. He's the backup Kohen Gadol. We don't want him to come Tameh, otherwise he can't be the backup anymore. On the other hand, the Meshuach V'Umechoma is, he's always involved. He's out on the war. He's not, Tuma is not his issue. His issue is to be out by the battlefield. But Tanya, what about our Braita we just brought over here? Meshuach Mechama Kodem Leskan. So Mervina, Kaitanya, Hayila Chachayoto. You're talking about two different issues. One is a hierarchy for who's more important. Who's more important? The Meshuach is more important than the Skan. When it comes to Tuma, that's a practical consideration. It makes more sense for the Meshuach Mechama to become Tamei than it does for the Skan. Because Tuma is less of an issue for the Meshuach than it is for the Skan. The next Mishnah is also, again, a hierarchy that we're familiar with all the time. Kohen, Kodem Levi. Levi, the Israel. Israel, the Mamzer. Umamzer, the Natin. Menatin, the Ger, the Ger, the Eved, Meshuchrar. So the Kohen always gets precedence before the Levi. The Levi before Israel, that's the hierarchy that when we give out the Aliyot. Israel comes before a mamzer for obvious reasons. One is from marriage or a kosher marriage. The other one is from a problematic arayot. Mamzer, who is Zera Kadosh, comes before a natin who doesn't come from Zera Kadosh. The natin comes from before a ger. The Gemara will discuss this because the natin grew up amongst Klal Yisrael, whereas a ger did not. And a ger comes before an evich mishuchrar because we'll see in the Gemara that ematai. What's that true? Bizman shkulam shavim. That's only true if they're on equal level. If everything else is equal, this is the hierarchy we use. Aval mahayam mamzer tamir chacham b'koin gadol ha-ma'aretz. For talking about a mamzer, tamir chacham, and a koin gadol ha-ma'aretz, mamzer tamir chacham kodim l'koin gadol ha-ma'aretz. Then the mamzer, tamir chacham, takes precedence over the koin gadol ha-ma'aretz. So that means the hierarchy here is only if all things are equal. But if things are not equal, for instance, you have a mamzer tamir chacham and a koin gadol ha-ma'aretz, the mamzer koin tamir chacham is going to take precedence. Koin kodim the Levi. How do we know that the koin precedes the Levi? Shneimar bnei Amram Aaron u'Moshe, because it says that the children of Amram in Divrei Yamim are Aaron u'Moshe. Ve'yavdel Aaron hakdisho kodesh kodeshim. So Aaron was separated out to be holier than all. I mean, the holiest of all. So you see the Kohanim take precedence over the Levim because Aaron was designated above Moshe. Levi kodum Yisrael, shenemar, because it says by the description of the Masa Ego, ba'itahiv dilashem et shevet Levi. The shevet Levi was taken out and made distinct from the rest of Klal Yisrael. Yisrael called him the manzer, this is what we discussed in the Mishnah, because zeh miyuchas, v'zeh miyuchas. The yichus of Yisrael is good, it's a clean slate, and the miyuchus of the manzer is problematic because he comes from arayot ebiya psula. Manzer kodem l'natin, zeh ba mitipak shira. This person is born from a Jew, a Jewish man and a Jewish woman, v'zeh ba mitipak psula. And the individual, the natin, comes from a non-Jewish nation, the natinim. Natin kodem leger, shezeh gadal imanu b'kdusha, because Natin grew up his whole life amongst Klal Yisrael b'kdusha, v'zeh lo gadal imanu b'kdusha. It's an amazing statement of the Gemara over here, that the fact that the person is goes up in Klal Yisrael has a large impact. Not only is it that nature, that the nature of the individuals we saw before, the tipa kshera and tipa psula, that is something that governs, but also over here we see nurture, that growing up amongst Klal Yisrael has value that cannot be replicated for someone who did not grow up amongst Klal Yisrael. The difference between the ger, a ger is someone who comes willingly and comes from amongst the nations and wants to convert. On the other hand, an eved is an eved knani. Eved knani comes from the nation of Arurim, and because of its Arur, therefore, he's on the lowest level, on the lowest rung. Rashi explains this because Canaan, lo matza Noach klala leKanaan gedola mizu. The greatest curse that Noach could give to Canaan was this: she'eved achav, that he'll be a servant to his brothers. So mikan shekol eved harihu bichlal arur. From that, you see that the abadim have that status of arur. So Rashi says it doesn't necessarily have to be a Canaanite; it can be any eved that has a status like an eved Canaanite, because an eved is under this rubric of Arur that is the greatest curse that Noah could have given to Canaan. Now, the Gemara says, Ema taibis man shukulan shavin. Nani, Mili, how do you know that it's all when everything else is equal, this is the hierarchy? Amravacha Rabbi Chanina, Damarka, the Pasuk says, Yikra hi mipninim. That the Torah, there it's speaking about the Torah is more precious than jewels or pearls. So the Gemara dashes on that. Mi koin gadol shechnas lifnayim nifnim. Yikara ahi, that the Torah is more precious mi pninim, not mi pearls, but rather mi the koin gadol that goes lifnay vilifnim. Tani Reb Shimon bar Yochai omer bedinu shiyakdim eved mishuchrar the ger. It's true that a freed eved should go before a ger. She said gadal imanu b'kdusha v'zeh lo gadal imanu b'kdusha. Saw before that nurture living amongst Klal Yisrael has a significant effect on the individual, and therefore the eved grew up in a family or in a Jewish home should have precedence over the ger who did not grow up in that situation. But there's an overriding factor that an eved is under the category of arur, and because of that, therefore he is brought down to the lowest rung. Shalut amidavet Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok b'nei ma hakol ratzim lisa gioret v'en hakol ratzim lisa mishuchreret. Why is it that everybody runs to go marry a convert and not to go marry a shivcha that was freed? Now over here, Rashi's gersa is actually not ratzim but rutzim, rather that they would want, not run. And then he says, Shimitratzim Lisa Gioret. Rashi says everything is relative. They'd rather marry a Gioret than a Shivcha Meshuchreret. Not that everybody's running to marry these individuals, but just in Yachas, relative to each other, one would choose the Gioret over Meshuchreret. It's very simple. The Shivcha Meshuchreret, it comes from the category of Arur, whereas the Gioret doesn't, and therefore we would give precedence, or one gives precedence to the Ger or the Gioret over the Shivchad HaMeshuchreret. The other issue is that these individuals really take care of themselves in a different way. Rashi actually brings two different interpretations of what this means. One is that Stam Shivcha Mufkeret. The Stam Shivcha is Mufkeret. Since she is a Shivcha, she has really no control over her destiny, and she doesn't see any future for herself, so she's Mufkeret herself. She's not Makpedet on taking care of herself. Whereas the other possibility is Asher Gioret Baili Gure, that a Gioret who knows that she will eventually, or she's intending to convert, Meshemeret Atzma, because she guards herself, she doesn't allow herself to have inappropriate relations, because she's intending to convert. Shivcha has no control over her destiny. She doesn't know when she's going to be freed. She doesn't know when she can convert when she's freed. Therefore, she's not so makpedic. She never knows that that will ever happen. And she acts like a shivcha. So Rashi brings these two possibilities down. But basically that the Gioret has more incentive to ensure that she does not have improper relations, and therefore one is more apt to marry or favor the Gioret over a Shivcha in these instances. Shalom Tamid Lavet Rabbi Elazar. Over here it doesn't say Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, although we're going to see there are a series of questions to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, so sounds like maybe it is him here again. Why is a dog in a sense obedient to its master, whereas a cat is not? The one who eats the same foods or what the achbar, whatever the mice eat, he forgets his Talmudo. We'll see in a second, the Gemara is going to go through what that is. The cats that eat the mice themselves, they're going to forget, that they're not going to be so makpid or remember who their masters are, and that's why they always forget who the master is. They lose track because they forget, and therefore they are not so makpid to give respect to their masters as a dog is obedient to its master. He says, that's Rabbi Elazar. Why is it that everybody picks on mice? Mice are at the bottom of the totem pole. So the Rabbi Elazar says, Mitesh Suran Ra. They have a terrible demeanor. Their trait or character traits are horrible. And what is that? Maihi. Rabba Marafilu Glime Gaitsi. That they eat anything. They chew up cloaks and coats. They'll chew them up and eat them up. So therefore, they eat even what would be otherwise considered inedible, and they cause damage to clothing. And therefore, Suran Ra, that they have a poor demeanor, and therefore we put them at the bottom of the totem pole, Mida Keneged Mida, and Rapapa Amar, Filu Shufto Mara Gaitse, that they even chew, they gnaw on a handle for a hoe, the wooden handle of a hoe, they will go and gnaw on it, and they will chew it down. So even again, something that's inedible, they'll still cause damage to it. So that's what it means, Suran Ra, and that's why they're at the bottom of the totem pole. Tanur Benan, Chamisha Dvarim Mishachin Eta Limud. There are five things that cause people to forget what they have learned. Or it's Mishachin Eta Talmud, that which they did learn. So what's that? Ochel Mimash Ochel Achbar. One who eats from where the Achbar, what the mouse eats. Mash Ochel Achatul, or what from the cat, where that which the cat eats. Someone who shares the trough with the mouse or with the cat, that causes a loss of their learning. Someone eats the heart of an animal. Someone eats lots of olives. Someone who drinks water that was left over from a rinsing or a bath. One who washes his feet one on top of the other. Someone sleeps with his clothes under his head. Chamishiv Devarim, Meshivim et Alimud, or Meshivim et Talmud. There are five things that bring back one's learning, or help one to remember what they learned, or Yafin le Talmud, according to Rashi's Girsa. Pat Pachmin, that is bread that is cooked on coals, that was made on or over the coals. And the other possibility is that it was pat chitim over here. B'choshkein pachmina, it's mentioning the coals themselves, which is a little more difficult. The other girsa is pat chitim, b'choshkein chitin atzman. B'chol beitzam gugelet b'lo melech, someone eats a scrambled egg without salt. V'ragil b'shemen zayit, the one who has a lot of olive oil. V'ragil b'yayinu b'samim, someone who has wine and incense. V'shetem mayim shel shirei yisa, the one who drinks the water that's left over from the kneading of the dough. Yeshemim afa tovel etzba'o b'melech, someone who dips his finger in salt. V'ochel. So now the Gemara says, v'ragil b'shemen zayit, the one who says Ragil B'Shem and Zayit, that brings back Limud, Misayle, the Rabbi Yochanan, that helps the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Dama Rabbi Yochanan, Shem She Zayit, Mishakech Limud, Shel Shivim Shena, just like the olive causes one to learn Limud that was gained over 70 years, Kach Shem and Zayit, Mishiv Limud, Shel Shivim Shena. So too, olive oil helps one to return that which they learned over 70 years, it helps them to restore or keep intact that which they learned. Ragil B'Yayin B'Samim, one who is regular in, with wine and incense, that helps him remember. Psaile the Rova, that helps out the position of Rova. The Amar Rova, Chamra Verechane Pichim, that wine and smells make people smarter, brighter. So that's brought down in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, the Gabe, Chamra, that Yichas Yain Yatzaso, that helps person reach depths of the Ayin Zakenim. So that's a Chamra Verechane Pichim. Those two things help to brighten or smarten an individual. But to well, it's ba'o b'melach, someone dips his finger in salt. Amresh lakesh u'ba'achat, that's with one finger. Ketanai, that's a machloket tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda omer, achat velo shtayim, when you dip your finger in the salt, it should be one finger and not two. Rabbi Yehuda omer, shtayim, you put two in velo shalosh. V'simaneich, and the siman you should use is the kmitzah. Kmitzah, if you hold your hand up, is the ring finger. It's the finger next to the pinky. If you fold that finger down, you'll see that, not including the thumb which is off the range, now that you have your pinky left on the right side, or if it's your left hand on the left side, that is one. And then the index finger and the pointer finger are left on the other side of the ring finger, and that's two. So that will be your siman to remember that the machlokas here is about one, not two, and two, not three. Don't think it's about two and three and three and four. No, because when you pull down your ring finger, kmitzah, if you remember that, then you remember there's one on one side, two on the other side, two fingers left on one side, one finger left on the other side, and therefore they remember the memra that it's one, not two, and two and not three. That's machlokas between one and two. There are 10 things that make learning difficult, or as Rashi's gives here, is the Kashim the Talmud. Over Tachar Afsara Gamal, someone who goes under the reins of a camel. Choshkein Tachar Gamal Atzmo, certainly under the camel itself. Over Ben Shnei Gamalim, someone walks between two camels. Over Ben Shnei Nashim, someone walks between two women. Over Ben Shnei Nashim, and for a woman, it's a woman who walks between two men. Over Mitachat Re'a Ra, somebody goes under a horrible smell, shel nevela, whether it has to be of nevela or any smell, but Rashi says over here that you're always under the smell. If you can smell something, the smell wafts up into the air, and so if you smell it, that means you're automatically under it. So it doesn't mean literally under the smell, but rather you smell it because it's above you and then you smell it. Someone who goes under a bridge which hasn't had water, going under that bridge for the last 40 days. Someone eats bread that is still somewhat raw, was not properly baked. Someone eats meat from Zuma Lishteron, which Rashi explains, which is the ladle which is used to mix the pot, so that ladle is called, because it removes the zuma, that therefore it's called over here, mizuma listeron. If someone who eats from basar, eats meat from that ladle, someone drinks from a water channel that passes through the cemetery, but mistakel b'fnei ha'meit, and someone who looks at the face of a person that's passed away, also someone who reads the writing that is on the monuments of a kever. So these are 10 things that take away or make it hard or difficult for someone to learn or remember. When the Nasi walks in, the Nasi here we're talking about is in Eretz Yisrael, where there was a Nasi that ruled over the people, or was the highest authority in Eretz Yisrael, was the Nasi. We had that with Rebbe, it was a Nasi, and then the lineage of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel, we're all Nasi'im in Eretz Yisrael. So when the Nasi comes in, everybody stands, and no one sits until he sits down or he says, please sit, please be seated. Sha'ab Beit Din Nichnas, when he comes in, Osim Lo Shura Achat Mikan, Shura Achat Mikan. Then wherever he's walking, on each side of him, all those that are directly next to him when he's walking, they stand up. Until he sits down. So the two shurot stand the entire time that he walks through until he sits down. Shecham nichnas, the chacham, so you have a hierarchy, you have nasi, then you have ad veitin, and then below them is the chacham nichnas, echad omeid, echad yushev, eshev bimkomo. Then as he walks by, people stand up and sit down as he walks by, and then once he sits down, they sit down. Bnei chachamim, v'tamidei chachamim, the children of the chachamim and the tamidei chachamim, zman shirabim tzrichim lahem, when they are needed, Mafsin al Roshei Am, they're allowed to walk on the heads of the people. Meaning that when they come in, after the people are already seated, and they have to tiptoe and walk through it, it looks like they're jumping up on tops of the heads of the people. But that's allowed, that's permissible when the people need them. When they're the Tzachi Rabbim, they can then do that, because the inconvenience is still for the benefit of the Rabbim. If it's not for the benefit of the Rabbim, then they can't do that. Then they can't take advantage of the Rabbim, or they can't, quote unquote, walk on the heads of the Rabbim. Yetzah, the tzorech, if a person has to leave, the chacham, or whoever this is that is entitled to kavod, went out for a reason, yikaneis v'yeshev bimkamo, he's allowed to return to his place, even though by returning to his place, he'll cause the people either to stand up again, or it looks like he's walking on their heads. And the Gemara then will spend more time on this, what's called a tzorech. B'nei tamir chachamim shemumunim avinim parneis ala tzibur, the children of Tamil Chachamim, whose father is appointed to authority, a position of authority or service of the Tzibur, Zman Sheyesh Lahem Da'at, Lishmoa, if they have the ability to listen to the Shiurim, Nechnasim B'Yoshvim Lifnei Aviyem, V'Chreyem Kalfei Am, they sit right by their father, and their backs are towards the people, meaning that they sit right up in front, facing their father. Zman Sheyesh Lahem Da'at, Lishmoa, if they don't have the ability to listen to the Shiur, then Nechnasim B'Yoshvim Lifnei Aviyem, or they sit acharei aviyam, really it should be upneim kafeyam. They sit behind their father, facing the people, so that they're not really able to hear, because the father's projecting their voice towards the people. They're behind their father. They go there because they're their children, but they're not offered that kavod of sitting in the front, facing their father. Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Tzadok omer, af b'beit ha-mishteh osim otan snifim. That this same hierarchy, or this same adjustment that we make for the children is done not only in the Beit HaMidrash, but also in the Beit HaMishteh. That the kavod that's afforded to them is based on their status relative to their father. If he leaves for a justified purpose, then he can come back in. What is a justified purpose? That is someone who has to urinate. If someone has to defecate, low, then he doesn't get the right to go. If he goes out, he can't come back in. Meaning that defecation is something that you should have checked for before you sat down. It's not something that can happen at any moment. And therefore, if you come in and then you all of a sudden have to go out to defecate, that's a sign that you didn't take care of this issue beforehand, and that's your problem. If you leave, then you can't necessarily come back in because it's not the tzorech. The other k'tanim, when it comes to urination, that's something that on a continuous basis, someone drinks, then they have to urinate on a regular basis. So therefore, if he has to urinate, we can't stop him. He has to go out. That's the tzorech, and therefore he can return and sit in his place. Person should be careful to get up early in the morning and to stay up a little late at night to go out and defecate, so that he doesn't have to go a long distance. During the daytime where it's light outside, he'll have to distance himself significantly from the yeshuv in order to have privacy, in order to defecate. Early in the morning or late at night, when it's still dark out, he's able to take care of his needs closer by, in closer proximity, because it's dark and people can't see him. So now, Amar Rava Aidna, today, meaning in our day, other Gersot don't have Amar Rava here, is Aidna the Chal Sha'alma. The world has deteriorated in terms of its strength. We are weaker today. Even when it comes to defecation, one has permission to leave, because we don't have that type of, whether it's self-control, discipline, or strength, to be able to decide when we want to defecate and then for the rest of the day not have to defecate. That we don't have because Chal Sha'alma, there was weakness that descended upon the world, and that weakness also comes in the form of the regularity, as well as the ability to control one's gidolim, his defecation. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Ape Beit Mishteh Ostes Otam Snifim. We do the same thing in the Beit Mishteh. Amar Rava B'chaye Avim B'pnei Avim. This whole kavod that are given to children, or awarded to the children, is only when the father is still alive. I mean, that their kavod is only a derivative of their father's kavod. And bibnei aviv and bifnei aviv. That's only when their father is sitting there. Their father is not there. They're not afforded that kavod, because the kavod is all a derivative of their father's kavod. It's not their own. They don't own that kavod. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, bimei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, nishnait mishnah zu. This mishnah that we just brought down, this braita that we just brought down, that describes this different type of hierarchy in terms of how we'd give kavod to the nasi, av beit din and the chacham. The nasi gets the highest form of kavod. Everybody stands up until he sits down. The av beit din, then a shura achat stands up from the whole way. And then a talmid chacham, they only as he walks by do people stand up, and then they sit down right away. So this was learned in the time of Shimon Gamliel, because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel nasi. Rabbi Meir, Chacham, Rabbi Meir was the Chacham, Rabbi Natan was the Av Beit Din at the time. Ki Ava, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Hatam, Avakami, Kuli Alma, Mikamei. When Rabbi Shimon came in, everybody stood up. Ki Ava, Eile, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Meir, the Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Natan, Av Beit Din came in, Avakami, Kuli Alma, everybody stood up, Mikamayu. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Lo Bo, the Meve, Hekere, Ben Dilai, Ledidhu. So wait, shouldn't there be some sort of difference or some sort of indication of the hierarchy? The Nasi goes before the Av Beit Din and the Talmud Chacham. How come when I walk in and they walk in, they're still, we're afforded the exact same kavod? So Takin Hamatnita, he put into place that hierarchy that was described by Rabraita. That means that the Nasi gets the full kavod, the full, everybody stands until he sits down, and then the Av Beit Din will have a slightly less, and then the Talmud Chacham even less than that, to show or to give indications of the hierarchy over here. Au Yoma, on the day that they put instituted this, Lo Hava Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Natan Hatam. They were not there. Rabbi Meir, the Chacham, Rabbi Natan, the Beit Din were not present, and that's how Rabbi Shimon was able to push it through. The Machar, Ki Atu, Chazu, Delo Kamim, Kamayo, Kitir, Rigila, Milto. So they saw the next day, they showed up, they weren't there when they put the instituted this. Next day they show up in the Beit Midrash, and they see the people are standing up in a different way than they normally did. So Amre, my high. I said, what happened here? What changed? So Amru, Lahu, Hachi Tukin Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. This was the institution of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that the standing up will depend on your status or stature. So Amre, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Natan, Ana Chacham, At Av Beit Din. Ama Talmud Chacham, you're the Av Beit Din, Nitkin Milta, Kelididan. So let us fix something up for ourselves. Rashi brings down different interpretations of what this means. Either it means, let's put another takana in place that will restore the proper kavod to our positions. That's one possibility. So the other possibility is to let him teach us something that he doesn't know. We'll show him that this hierarchy really does not stand the test, because we know more than he does. What should we do? What should we do? Namele the Gali Uksin. Delightly. Tell him to teach us Masechet Uksin that he doesn't know. Came to Lo Gamar, since he doesn't learn, name Alei, then we'll say to him, Mi Yemalel Gvut Hashem, Yeshmiya Kol Tehilato. Lami Na'el Yemalel Gvut Hashem, who's the one who should give praise or sing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The one, Mishiyachol Yeshmiya Kol Tehilotav. The one who can sing all of his praises. So to over here, who's the one appropriate to get the full kavod? The one who knows all the learning. Not someone who doesn't know Masechet Uksin. So by that, doing that, they would show Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that he made a mistake in creating this hierarchy in terms of kavod. Nabre, we'll get rid of him. Vavana Beit Din, Rabbi Meir says, I'll replace you, Rabbi Natan, as Av Beit Din, but Nasi. And you, Rabbi Natan, will come in and replace him as the Nasi. Shemino Rabbi Yaakov ben Karshi. Rabbi Yaakov ben Karshi overheard their conversation. Amar, Dimma Chas Vashalom Achi, Milto de Kisufa. He says, maybe Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is going to be embarrassed. He's not going to know about to teach the Uksini. He'll be embarrassed in front of everybody. How do I solve this? Azal Yatav Achorei. He went and he learned behind Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Achorei Elite de Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. He stepped behind the Makom, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Pashat, Garas Vitana, Garas Vitana. He took out, he started to learn Uksin. He learned it, went over it, learned it, went over it. Amar, my the Kamo. So Rabbi Shimon says, what's going on over here? Dilma Chavash Shalom, Ika Be Medrash Midei. Maybe in the base medrash, there's something going on in Uksin. So Yaiv Date Vigarsa. So he put his mind to it, and he learned Uksin. Machar Amrulei, Neite Mar, Venite Uksin. So they planned this plot or this ploy, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Natan, and they asked him to teach, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, to teach Uksin. Patach Vamar. He went ahead and said it. He taught it. Balto de Ukim, he said, after they finished, after they stood up, Amarlo, Ilo Gamirna Kasiftinan. Had I not learnt this last night, you would have embarrassed me significantly. Pakid Vafkinu Bibin Midrasha. He commanded them and threw them out of the Beit Midrash. He threw Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Natan outside the Beit Midrash. Habakatve Kushiata Bipitka. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Natan used to sit out the Beit Midrash and send in questions. Vishadwata. The Ava Mifrak Mifrak, whatever they could answer in the Beit Midrash, they answered. The Lo Avo Mifrak Katru Piruk Vishadu. The ones that they didn't have answers to in the Beit Midrash, then Rabbi Natan and Rabbi Meir would write the answer down and send it into the Beit Midrash. So Amar Lo Rabbi Yosi, Torah Mibachutz, Vano Bifnim. How could it be that the Torah is sitting outside, Rabbi Meir Ritan is outside, and we're inside? So either we're going to go outside and join them, or they're going to be brought in. Amar Lahem, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Elinu. You're right. Let's bring them back into the Beit Midrash. We're going to make a knas on them. We're going to have some sort of zecher. Someone's a midah connected midah. They wanted to embarrass Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, dispose him from his position. They, in the end, were the ones who were thrown out, taken out of their positions, taken out of the Beit Midrash. Number two is, they wanted to make a zikaron tevarin. That's what Rashi says, to show that this hierarchy is not right. So they went to make a zikaron tevarim. In the end, it turns out that the zikaron tevarim, we'll see in a second, was the play on them. So the knas is, they will never say over any memrot in their names directly. And that's what it means, a sikula Rabbi Meir achirim. Whenever we see achirim in the Mishnah, we know it's talking about Rabbi Meir. Well, Rabbi Natan, yeshomrim. And anytime you say yeshomrim in the Mishnah, that's referencing Rabbi Natan, unless we know otherwise. So, achveluhu b'chalmayu, they saw in a dream, zilu paisu the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Go and appease Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, ask for forgiveness for what you did. Rabbi Natan azal, Rabbi Meir lo azal. Rabbi Natan listened to the dream and went and spoke to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, whereas Rabbi Meir did not go. Amar divrei chalamot lo malin b'lo maridin. Dreams are exactly that. They're dreams. They're not koveya anything. They don't tell us any factual or facts. So therefore, I don't have to listen to this dream. I don't have to go see Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Tazal Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Natan, the abbeit and reach him, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and he, the hanilach kimra de avuch, or kimra de avuch, maybe it was good enough. Your father's kimra is his cloak, a cloak of authorities. As Rashi says, avnate muzhav, or this golden belt, piece of clothing that indicated their position of stature. So he says to him, Rabbi Natan, your father's position, your father's kavod, or his chut avot, was enough to mahave abbeitin, to make you into an abbeitin. Shavyunach nami nasi, but you think it's going enough to make you into the nasi. So you think that your zchut avot was so great, you were going to depose me and then replace me as the nasi. You think that your zchuyot are so great? No, your zchuyot are only good enough to make you into the abbeitin, not good enough to make you into the nasi. So there he was chastising Rabbi Natan for the behavior, and he said, you should have thought about this beforehand, you should have known better, because zchut avot for you is only enough to make you abbeitin, it's not enough to make you into the nasi. Okay, we'll stop over here, and we'll finish off the as well as the Seder tomorrow.